Praise the Lord.
Oh, whoa.
You are loved.
You are loved. Such as it is unto you, grace be unto thee. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're technically the Gilmore guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's right.
I didn't know what you were going for. You said technically, and I was like, daylight savings an hour ahead?
Well, that's true. We're recording this on November the 2nd. It was a few days after All Hallows Eve, where we worship the Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun. What did you do? Did you dress up for Halloween?
I did. My original costume was, I went as Major Lazer, the character who's just there's a side project of Diplo called Major Lazer, and mm-hmm. it's like literally just kind of his logo, but I worked at a company where we were creating a Major Lazer TV show. So for our company party, I dressed up as that, and then I just kept that costume for everything
right on.
Else.
Yeah. Did you have to explain it a lot to people?
No one ever asked, and that was fine. I feel like there's a kind of point where it's like, if your costume isn't extravagant, and it's just kind of like, oh, I can't tell what it is, but it's fairly normal, it's like, people don't care.
Yeah.
So I was like,
they right. give up the curiosity pretty quick.
Exactly.
I posted this on Twitter, so the people know already, but they deserve to know now. I was slutty Luke Danes.
Ooh.
I dressed up in a flannel. And a backwards baseball cap, flannel open, and I wore cut off shorts too. So it was the laziest freaking costume in the world. It was barely a costume, but what I actually did for Halloween was much darker than that. Okay, quick story, because no one that this affects will ever hear this podcast. I was originally going to be Rob Corddry from Children's Hospital, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Some guy. Maybe so. Our guest knows, but who knows? Who's to say?
Oh, yeah. I guess we just revealed yeah. we have a guest.
Oh, well, anyway. We do have a guest, and it's not Alexis Bledel. But back to the story. I had a scrub top because my friend did costumes for Children's Hospital, so she had the bloody scrub top from the show, which was awesome. But I was a dummy, and I waited until the last minute to get scrub bottoms, so all I had was sweatpants, so that looked weird. I looked like a weird homeless guy. I was like, this isn't even the costume anymore, so I put on a horse's head. Instead, because I have one of those latex rubber right. horses heads. And I went to the first party of the mini that I was invited to. And I had a Bluetooth speaker blasting Pony by Ginuwine. And I just came in. No one knew who I was. I danced around for 5 minutes and I left.
Oh, my God.
And no one ever knew who I was. Went to a party in Echo Park. Did the exact same thing. Came in, horse's head on, danced for 5 minutes, left. And I went back to the first party and said, hey, I'm Slutty Luke Danes. And they never knew it was me. So that's a little psychotic inside into my Halloween, but it was fun. It's just fun to divorce yourself from your own identity for one night, or for a career, for what we're doing. Isn't that right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A lot of church language in this podcast so far.
Welcome. This is the church spinoff podcast episode, the pilot.
Chilling in church with
Jesus.
With Jesus. Just with Jesus. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Don't even mention us.
That checks out. We do have a guest today. It's not Alexis Bledel.
No.
She canceled again. Do I want to say?
Did she tell you why she canceled?
No. What was it?
So, I told you how we went to the Guess Who, right?
Yeah, I you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alexis and I skipped out on recording an episode of the podcast, and I lied to you about it so that we could go see the Guess Who.
Mm-hmm.
Not sorry. Anyway.
Right.
That night, we went to get sushi afterwards, and she ate some bad sushi. Here's the thing. She was fine. She was fine for the next 4 days, okay? And then out of nowhere this morning, she's like, we still doing the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, you still in? She's like, nope, sick, sorry. And then on the way over here, I saw her at Starbucks. She's fine. But like,
what was she drinking at Starbucks?
Pumpkin spice latte.
You know, 'tis the season. Girls love pumpkin spice lattes. Have you noticed that before?
I think that people should make jokes about that. It's,
you know what?
Fresh.
And they should post them on Twitter.
It's original.
Yeah.
It's comedy.
Flawless joke format. But you know what? I feel like we have a guest even better.
We do.
Than Alexis Bledel today. I'd say our guest is 20 times better than Alexis Bledel.
Where'd that math come from? I agree with
you. 30 times as good looking, 4 times as charming, twice as tall.
Half as many syllables?
Yeah, perhaps. So let's introduce that guest right. Oh no, I lost the intro music.
It's cool, I'll sing it. It's cool, sing it.
No, we have to do this. We have to do this right. We owe it to this person. No.
Okay.
Here we go now. Gonna find the intro. Here we go now. Beatbox, Demi.
Do I have to beatbox?
Fill time, Demi. Here we go now. Here we go now.
You gotta tell me when to stop.
And
then.
I found it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Here we go. It feels good. Professionals. We are professionals. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, you know this guy from the UCB. His productions have included La 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 LA, a puppet musical. He's in a movie called Freak Dance. He teaches, he performs in quick and funny musicals, and you can see him there all the time, basically, more or less. Guys, it's Benjamin Seaman.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me at this Christian podcast with Gilmore Girl.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
You are loved.
Praise the Lord. Where do you stand with the Lord, Ben? Let's get into it.
5 minutes in. Let's
dig in.
P-Home style.
I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Then
oh,
don't.
No. You don't have to. But just come talk to me after the show.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Great. That's,
we're gonna
is this
you.
Like
I have some literature for
Monkey
you.
Monkey Butler, like they used to have improv classes
there is,
around town.
I've heard about this. I've never seen it. I never will. But there is a Christian improv group called Monkey Butler.
Yeah, I think they recently changed names or don't exist anymore, but the conceit was they have all these flyers that are like free improv classes. So you go to the class, it's fun, it's free, and then at the end they're like, so we're just gonna have a prayer circle now, and if you don't want to do it, that's cool. You don't have to stay, but if you want to, then we're just gonna like connect with Jesus. And then like, so it's just trying to get you to,
of course.
It's just a weird, I mean, I think it's cool, but it's just a weird way to bring people to
it's
the
It's a
Lord.
Weird thing to not mention on the flyer.
Yeah, both of those things are true.
It's a very LA trying to make yourself relevant sort of thing, it feels like. That, yeah, you wouldn't see that in, like, Ohio, I don't think. I hope not. Ben.
Yes.
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm a little bit down because it is daylight savings, and so now it starts to get dark at like 4:30. Yeah.
Does that bum you out?
I get so bummed out.
Oh, no.
I need like those lights that Swedish people have because it's like, or in Alaska, those places where it's dark all the time. Like, I just get bummed when it's like dark half of the day.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
We've been depressed all day. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that.
That we've been depressed all day.
Yeah, no, I don't like when it's in the season where it's like, oh, I'm out of work and it's dark at 5 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it feels terrible. I was just thinking you should have said that you were BoJack Horseman for your Halloween costume.
Oh, you should have.
Oh, dang. You know, I thought about that before I left the house, but I thought it was one of those things that would require too much explanation, especially because I was wearing bloody scrubs.
You're wearing the bloody scrubs and the horse head?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh. No, I combined them. Yeah.
That's why no one knew who you were.
Right. And they never will, unless they listen to this.
When you said that you were sexy, Luke, did anybody know who you were talking about?
Yeah. The character in the show?
Yeah.
When I said slutty Luke Danes, they were like, I should say sexy, not slutty.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, maybe,
is that a thing?
Maybe you were slutty. No. Just like, I think it should be, if you were a girl, then they would have said that you were dressed up like slutty Lorelei or something.
Right.
So you might as well use the same phrase for men, just to equality.
I know Skinner did that whole piece on Totally Biased where she was like, call him sexy, not slutty costumes.
Right.
Because that's...
All right. Sure. Assuming. Call him sexy then.
Ben, what is your experience with the Gilmore Girls as a TV show?
I've only watched it a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know much about the canon. I watched this episode. It was probably the first full episode that I watched. My boyfriend loves the Gilmore Girls, mm-hmm. and he was very upset that I hadn't watched it. I watched it at his place. We watched it on Netflix, even though he has like the seven
the whole
season
box sets.
Set that like takes like up a whole shelf. It comes in this like plastic case. Like, it was very impressive. So
just more convenient on Netflix, I'm sure.
Yeah, because you don't have to stick in a disc and you can just binge watch because mm-hmm. as soon as one ends, the next one starts. Right. So we stopped when the next one was starting. But yeah, so I kind of came to it very fresh. I knew, you know, I know things about it, that they speak very fast. I knew the basic premise of it and that Melissa McCarthy was on it and stuff. But I knew about Luke and Lorelai. Mm. Like, I know, so pretty fresh, though, pretty fresh.
And overall, if you had to give a verdict just based on one episode, what would you say? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, man. I mean, what the people that listen to this must love the Gilmore Girls, right?
Are it's really okay if you don't, though.
Yeah, I love when
most of our guests have not enjoyed it.
I think it's one of those shows where my favorite show of all time is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I think that they're similar in a lot of ways in that, like, they're very stylistic. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be on board with what's happening. And then if you're on board, then you're going to really enjoy it, right? And if you're not on board and you let yourself not be on board, then you probably will be irritated by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching it and I was like, okay, like, I get they talk really fast and they don't talk like normal people would because the banner is like funny, but it's just like way too unrealistic at some points.
There's
when,
a
like,
lot going on.
When like serious things are happening, like emotional things, they're like saying all these zip, like they got these zingers and it's just like... Just connect, like just
Charles say, Manson. You're crazy. I think that was one of them.
Yeah. Just say what a real person would say every once in a while, but they don't do that. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, if it was a scale from 1 to 10, I would say I give it a 6. Like, I enjoyed it more than I didn't enjoy it.
You know what? That's more than a 5.
If
it was a grade for a term paper,
it would have passed.
Would it?
No, that's
60.
A D. That's a D.
That's a D.
But a D is passing, right?
Is it?
Yeah, well,
it depends on what school you're at, I guess.
It's been a while since I've been in the old school.
It's been a while. Well, let's go ahead and start our episode conversation. Thank you for that insight, Ben.
No problem.
Into your journey here. Let's talk about it. This episode is called Christopher Returns. And the Netflix synopsis, as it is written, is Roy's father returns, causing tension in Emily and Richard's house, forcing Lorelai to make a big decision about her family's future. Mm. Is that about right?
I'd say that's fair.
Yeah.
It makes it sound more exciting than it is, but I would say it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally, these Netflix synopses are iffy.
I feel like she was offered a decision and immediately decided that without any hesitation and then stuck to that decision for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I don't know if she faced a big decision and was like going back and forth about
right.
it.
Well, let's start with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show, stream together in a fun little supercut. Playing back, this is Pop Goes the Culture for episode 115, Christopher Returns.
This is the monolith from 2001.
I'm dumbing it down for you, Alfalfa.
See, wearing the Bonnie Bell lip smackers around my neck.
I hate President Bush.
Charlie Manson is freaked out by you right now.
You know the opening lick to Smoke on the Water.
And I've since mastered the opening lick to Jumpin' Jack Flash.
I'm a Chuck Berry man myself.
So we're talking pre-My Ding-a-Ling?
That's very Fiddler on the Roof of you. And one of those Fred Mertz Golden Gloves pullover sweaters.
Fred Mertz?
I Love Lucy, Fred Mertz.
Landlord of Ricky, husband Ethel, I know. It's just a weird reference.
Hello, pajamas.
Right. Don't you think it's much more George Clooney than Brad Pitt?
I'm going with the Billy Crudup comparison myself.
Ah, last night was Chernobyl and the Hindenburg combined.
Right.
Jose Cuervo still has amazing magical powers.
Offspring sucks in Metallica rules.
I screwed up their big Citizen Kane plans, that's all.
Dad, that's from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. It's a famous musical.
If Tony Randall can crank one out in his 70s, you have decades left to spawn.
When you say no to coffee, especially in the morning, all is not right in Whoville.
The Offspring is your favorite band.
So you're into Metallica.
Well, Metallica is way more substantial than The Offspring.
Here we go. It's the same Black Sabbath riff all over again.
Oh, The Offspring have like one chord progression. They use it over and over. They just pop on new words and call it a single. And I don't want to talk about this anymore.
And neither do we.
I do want to talk about that now.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
The Offspring's all right.
Oh, you like The Offspring?
I think they're all right.
Offspring apologist? All right.
I am an Offspring apologist. I'm also a Metallica apologist at times.
What was their big song?
Metallica?
No, Offspring.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
Oh, the dan.
Oh, that's who Offspring is?
Okay. Give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh.
I find the Billy Crudup reference to be incredibly dated. Right?
Yes.
He's only been in like 3 movies. Right. It feels like he's been in more,
I can't think of anything I've seen him in recently.
That's not like, Almost Famous.
It's like, Almost Famous and Watchmen. That's it for me.
He was in Watchmen. Yeah. I forgot.
But it's like, gosh, he wasn't really, because he was like a glowing blue man for most of the film.
That's right. With the big glowing dong.
With the big old long dong.
Did you feel the father was in the right or the wrong for not knowing that Supper Time was a song from Your Good Man Charlie Brown?
I felt very much...
It's true to the character.
It's true to the character, and also I didn't know, so I can't fault him for it.
I feel like it was pretty normal that he wouldn't know that, and she was being very rude.
Yeah, she was
father.
All haughty, like, Dad, it's from Charlie Brown, you dumb idiot.
Like, if you named, like, name 10 Broadway musicals, no one's going to say You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
That's true. They're going to say Shrek, the musical.
Exactly.
Once,
they're going to say
the musical.
Hairspray, the musical.
Little Mermaid,
the Little musical. Mermaid, the musical.
Toy Story, On Ice.
Legally Blonde, the musical.
Oh,
wait, is there a Legally Blonde musical?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
There's High Fidelity, the musical, or there was for a little bit.
I don't even like High Fidelity, the movie.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Oh, boy. We'll talk about that later.
Will we?
Okay, so here's the thing about this episode. I think this is the first episode. I could be wrong. Correct me, Twitter, if I am.
It's not. It's the 15th.
No. Let me finish. I'm going to let you finish, Taylor. It's the first episode in which Daniel Palladino has the sole writing credit on the episode.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. So Daniel Palladino, Mr. Amy Sherman Palladino. And this is actually kind of a divisive issue among fans, is the quality. I don't know if I should be saying this if we want him on the show ever, but the quality of his episodes are often found to be lacking in the fan community.
Oh.
Like, you know, like when people want to diss an episode, they're like, oh, that's a Daniel Palladino episode. It's like synonymous for a drop in quality.
That's strange, because I thought this, like, I mean, my overall impression of this episode was they got to the point very quickly. And I mentioned in a previous taping that I think that this show has pacing problems, and I don't think it had it in this episode. I think they got to the, like, but also they had the benefit of starting the conflict in the previous episode. Like, we knew, oh, this one's going to be about Christopher.
Right, carried over. Because if you didn't see the last episode being...
I assume that previous episode ended with him, like, knocking on the door, and then it opened, and then she was like, Christopher? And then I bet...
I like this better.
I bet Rory said, Daddy? Like, in a southern voice, because she was suddenly southern.
Papa, papa, is that
Daddy?
Finally. He's come back from the war,
and then it ended.
The winter's ended, and Papa has returned home.
How did it end? I assume it was him knocking on the door, right?
A guy rolls up on a motorcycle
and says, "Take your shirt off," and then he takes his helmet off, and it's revealed to be Christopher.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
And Roy does say, "Dad."
Yeah,
but she doesn't say, "Daddy."
Yeah,
Daddy. Is that you, Daddy? I really want to see that now.
I had some big problems with the episode.
Let's get into it.
Are we going to get into it?
Yeah. I mean, usually we go chronologically, but then we just end up skipping all over. No, I mean, we try to go teaser, act one, act two, act three, act four.
No, we can go. We I don't want to rattle things up.
No,
I want you to rattle things up. I listen to
How This Get Made. Like, have you listened to that podcast?
Yeah.
I love it. But the one thing I hate is that I wish they would go in chronicle order, because they just like go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And like, a lot of times, if you hadn't watched the movie, you're like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
That's true.
I was about to say, like, a lot of the times I don't watch the movie, which is why I don't care when they don't go in chronological order.
Oh,
I just picture the soul moments, and it makes less sense to me when they're
Along for the ride, right. Baby.
But maybe we should go in chronological order. How does this episode start?
You know, let's try it.
I remember that they're making up the couch because he is going to be sleeping over, or has been sleeping over.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to use that couch.
Well, no, he does, as far as we know.
But I mean, like, in my imagination, like, when they were doing that, I was like, he's not going to need the couch.
Yeah.
And Lorelai is being like very, very, she's being warning to Rory because Rory's like, maybe he's going to stay this time.
Yeah, she sounds like such a naive girl in this episode, which in previous, she's usually like beyond her years and she's such a bookworm and so smart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I think something's different this time. I think he's going to stay.
It made me so sad.
Yeah, it did bum me out.
Rory, you're smarter than this. Mm-hmm.
And then it leads to one of my biggest problems is that he says, things are going to be different now. He has the vaguest information about this business that he's doing. No information about what it is. Nobody asked him at any point during this episode. He's just like, business is up and things are great. And no one, even his Lorelai's parents or his parents, like, he just says business, and that's it. It's the laziest. He could have said real estate.
Yeah, and the old people are like, well, business, we like that word. Yeah. It's not a hotel, so
business,
checks out.
Business. It's like a bad Simpsons joke. It like if Homer
strokes.
Simpson was coming in, it was like, yes, I have a business.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, what is your business? And he's like, I don't know. Just like that.
Mentioned BoJack Horseman earlier. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's Vincent Adultman. I did a business. I work at the business factory. It's like, no, you don't. You're two children in a trench coat.
It just would have taken just any kind of choice about what the business was. And I don't know if that was an episode one thing where they were like, he went to California to do real estate.
Nope.
No, he just went there to do business.
Yeah. He went, well, actually, we don't really know why he left right now.
No, yeah.
I think there was one line in the pilot where it's like, no, Christopher's happy. He has his own business, I think, actually.
Christopher called yesterday.
Speaking of which, how is that a speaking of which?
He's doing very well in California. His internet startup goes public next month.
Do you think that Christopher would have his own company right now if we'd gotten married?
So, yep, it's been vague through and through.
He does say he came back because business is good, and then we find out that it isn't good.
When he tries to buy the monolith from 2001. No,
yeah.
Oh,
good grief. I mean, yeah, what is the thought of that, why he comes back? What do you feel like it was?
I don't know. Maybe
it's part of a maniacal plan.
I feel like the thought is that his business isn't going good, right? But it's not terrible because he's not homeless.
Yeah.
And he's not like, I need to borrow $20,000 to get out of a real jam. He just comes, wants to connect with his daughter, and then he just leaves. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
It was a huge bummer.
All right, good podcast. I think we're done, guys.
Rating.
Anyways,
yeah,
praise
let's
Jesus.
Get into it. Praise the Lord. two things about the teaser. Rory has dialogue. She says, I gotta finish my homework so I can do my extra credit on Sunday, which was just too
I kind of hated that.
Yeah, I was like, no.
Did you hate that less or more than when she wanted the monolith dictionary? Because I feel like that made me hate her.
I agree. Because she was like, well, I guess if I had to pay, it would be the dictionary. I was like, why?
This is before Google, guys.
I know, but even in any world, why would she be like, if I can get one book, honestly, it's got to be the dictionary. I don't like reading unless I have to look something up. I don't know. That seems so weird.
It was too on the nose. It was I get it. She's smart. She's a goody-goody. But a dictionary is the most boring thing a kid could ever want.
It's literally true. I feel like in a cartoon where it's like, you got to show this character's boring, get him a dictionary and have him read it. Anyway.
I think that should have been act four. It was just her reading the dictionary.
That would be great.
From start to finish.
Wow.
That actually is one of the finales coming up.
Papa got me this dictionary.
My daddy bought me this dictionary. I like your version of Rory so much better than the real one now.
Yeah, she needs to have a southern drawl.
Yeah.
Daddy, buy me a dictionary.
They also laugh at Chris for thinking Rory plays softball. He's the biggest idiot in the world. They're like, Rory, play softball? You haven't been here for 12 years, but no.
Lorelai has a lot of moments where it's like, I can't believe you think that. Where they say I bet you've got the musical talent of your father. It's like, and she's like, what? Both of them are awful at music.
This is jumping ahead, but my other thing that I had a problem with is that Christopher's parents live here too, right? In this town, right?
Because in Hartford, they live in the area. Yeah,
they must live pretty close, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, our assumption is that he's never come to Stars Hollow.
Yeah,
And then that would make me think he hadn't seen his parents in 12 years or something like that. Don't you think the same thing? Unless have always traveled to visit him. He's never come to Stars Hollow.
Right.
Right.
I thought it was suggested that he hadn't seen them in a while.
Yeah, it had been a while.
Because he's so busy with his business.
Because all the business that's been booming. They're in, they mean Hartford, because that's where Richard and Emily live. They don't actually live in Stars Hollow.
Okay,
they're,
they traveled
to be there. They traveled 26 miles to be there.
So one plot hole is filled then.
Yeah, asked and answered. Although I don't see that being too far-fetched, that he hadn't seen him in that long. Like, I have family members that haven't seen my grandparents and...
But your parents' parents?
No.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I guess I would say that dinner situation lets us know that there's some tension in the family, so maybe he wouldn't want to see them, but that's later. That's later.
Right.
We'll get to that.
Well, guys, we've already jumped around a lot.
Let's open with Act 1, Scene 1. We're going real chronological. If I just did that.
Did you really write this all down and break it all down?
I did do scene one, scene two, scene three, scene... Wow. Just because we skip ahead from that. We don't do it that.
Is this how you learn story structure? Did you write did you write Gilmore Girl specs?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, me and Robert McKee.
I feel like Gilmore Girls is a terrible show to learn story structure from.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, it's the worst because it just floats in and out. There's no...
They'll be at a Bengals concert by the beginning of Act 3, and it's like, oh, hey, what's the conflict? Oh, here it is. At the beginning of Act 4.
I don't care. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
La, 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 la. Did you like the music on this show at all, Ben? Did you find it to be overbearing?
I wasn't really struck by the music. Is that something common? I love Carole King, so I love the theme song.
Yay. That'll be important later.
She sings it with her daughter for the theme song.
That's right.
So I enjoy that. I love that song.
Good, good, good.
But the other music, I didn't notice anything. There wasn't anything where I was like, oh, this makes me really pay attention to music. So I didn't have any feelings about it.
Okay, good. Which I guess music is supposed to do on some level. It's like editing. It's best when you don't notice it. So they're at the softball game. And I found this was a weird line from, and maybe this is like, it's 14 years ago. Maybe it's of its time. But Kirk is razzing on Luke. And he says, does your husband play softball, too?
I wrote that
too?
Down. I was like, this was is like, a weird gay joke.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah, but then immediately, Luke is like, all right, that's it. And he just like, I got a page, and he runs away.
Yeah, he runs away like a cartoon character. Like,
yeah, very much like...
Like Daffy Duck through a wall.
I wanted to hear that.
Ben's not into it. Ben's not into the running away guy.
Luke, are we talking about...
Or no, we were talking about Kirk when he ran away.
Kirk, no. I don't remember. You keep talking about this scene. I don't remember so much about it. That's fine. I didn't know why they didn't like one another and what was going on, because I just didn't... Yeah, I didn't really know those characters yet.
It kind of seemed that it was clear that the only reason that entire scene existed was for the moment later when Luke is like, Rory was with someone at the game today. Who was that? They just needed a way to have them in the same place.
Because it was showing this dreamy boy that she is, like, going to dating, or is she dating him
at
this point?
She is dating him currently.
At this point, she's dating this guy.
Yeah, she's cooked him dinner, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In the previous ep. Although, there was that interesting moment when Dean meets Christopher for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're talking about motorcycles. And Dean says, oh, I got a Harley or a Mia. I don't know shit about motorcycles. But he's like, oh, I got this and this and this.
Yeah, they were connecting.
Yeah, but even though in episode 5 or 6, he says, I don't have a motorcycle.
Whoa.
What's up with that shit, man? Continuity.
Some time has passed. Maybe he bought a motorcycle between them.
With all the money he makes at being a cashier at
Taylor's
the grocer.
Market. Doozy's Market. Dosey's Market. Damn it.
It has two O's. It has to be Doozy.
It's Dosey. It is Dosey. People are right. Well, people on Twitter got mad at us for mispronouncing a name.
I'm mad about the name.
One of the characters. I know.
What's the name of the dreamy boy that she's dating?
Dean.
Dean.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't like this. The structure-wise, I don't like that Dean's only in this one scene, and then he's gone. I don't like that Sookie's only in one scene and then she's gone. Whereas I want to see those people again. It seems like you paid them to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to pay them for the whole episode.
Right. The whole episode.
Might as well.
And what if, I don't know, let's continue. But
lately it seems like Sookie only shows up to be like, I think you really do like Luke.
Like, Lorelai, you should do this. Lorelai, don't do this.
Yeah.
It is a bummer for a stretch. She's only defined by her relationship with Lorelai. The way Lane is with Rory.
Yeah.
But they get over that.
Is Lane in this episode at all?
Is she?
No.
Ben, do you remember a little Asian girl being in this episode at all?
Yeah, no, I don't remember her name. I remember in the credits, and I was like, "Oh, that's fun that they have a nice little Asian girl." But
that oh, is nice. Fun. But it's a lot of fun.
She wasn't in it.
No.
So,
yeah.
What is she? Is she Rory's best friend? And
yes.
And is she a big nerd like Rory, or is she like more edgy or something?
She's edgier in theory. She has a real religiously strict mother.
Oh. Yeah,
and she's super into music. Like Miko, XTC, yeah. Miko, and her mom's not into it. But you know, you raise a good point, Ben. That there's so many characters, it's hard for them to service each one faithfully in each episode. And there's certain episodes of the show where Richard and Emily, the grandparents, aren't even in them,
right?
At all.
I'm so glad they were in this one, though.
So glad
they're good characters.
Did you enjoy them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's
I find the mother's acting just over the top, like and his acting over the top too. But
oh, Emily and Richard.
Yeah. But in a good way.
How dare you come into my house and insult my daughter?
My heart swelled with pride at that moment. I was like, hell yeah, Richard. Yes, get him.
But it became such a bummer. Actually,
afterwards, yeah.
Because he was like, Lorelai, why do you think I did that? And it became like this weird, almost
terrible.
Like he was beholden to, he was obligated to do it just because it was like house rules or something, and not because he like loved his daughter.
They've been doing that a lot, where it's like they'll build up goodwill for either Emily or Richard, and then just tear it down in the next scene by making you feel really bad.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a weird parallel to a scene in a previous episode where Lorelai defends Rory to Emily when she's coming home late from the dance. And then she's like, Rory says, oh, thanks for doing that. And she was like, how could you? Where were you? So, you know, family problems. It's complicated, guys.
It really is.
It never ends. Ben, let's talk about your family problems.
Okay.
Do you have any?
Sure, I have plenty of family problems, but that's not what this is about, is it?
What is this podcast about?
This has been a segment called Family Problems.
We just tear down the walls to reveal like the Family Problems logo. Then, we tricked you.
Yeah, here it is. Rory and Christopher run into Patty in the town square.
Rory! She's the dance teacher, yes. Right? Yeah, she's amazing.
I loved her. You love her too?
Yeah, because she's just like over the top and unapologetic about how crazy her acting is.
When I was watching this, I had just like this crazy epiphany of her being a parallel to like some other character, and I can't remember now, so I'm upset, but just like she is...
Gandalf.
No. Yeah, Gandalf. I don't know. She reminded me so much of some other character that's just constantly just like, ooh, I guess that makes us this. And it's just like, all right, Miss Patty, get out of here. But
what does that voice sound like? That sounds ooh. Ooh.
So I understand from the show that she's just like a big horn dog. Is that what she is?
Oh, yeah.
So
she's just hungry for the all the time.
She constantly is. Like, try a plum. They're better than sex.
She proceeds to hint at wanting to bone Rory's dad in front of Rory.
Yeah.
Blatantly.
Under some crazy ass logic. Like, oh, we're all Rory's family, so that makes us a couple. Like,
right.
The Byzantine way to get there was
such
insane.
A weird.
Insane. And the town becomes. It really is. I do find the town to be creepy as shit sometimes. When
super
it's like,
creepy.
When she gets on her flip phone. Flip phones.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. We love flip phones here.
I love them.
On the Flipcast. That she texts Taylor, who texts blah, 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 and then the whole town knows in 2 minutes flat.
Yeah. It made me think of that Norman Rockwell painting, Gossip, like where, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
no, I'm going to Google it.
Oh, you
got to
look
now,
it up.
Though.
It's like an old timey, it's called Gossip, Norman Rockwell, and it just shows. Like a
Miss
woman,
Patty on her phone.
A woman talking to another woman, and it shows like all the people who are telling the secret, and then at the end it comes back to the wife that talked about it.
Whoa.
It's a great painting.
I'm looking at it right now. How had I never seen that before? This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace.
You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
There's a weird moment in the series of messages getting transferred where Taylor Dosey pulls out his big old Save by the Bell.
Yeah, there's a big
phone.
One. That's a really big yeah, phone.
Was, I loved it.
Yeah, that was like the phone and the limo from Blank Check.
Yeah, I imagine.
Is that a deep
pretty,
cut?
That's a pretty specific reference.
I love Blank Check.
I hope that was in the script, like Blank Check phone.
Yeah, that was the only direction of the prop department. But I like to imagine the only reason he still has that phone is because it matches his only cardigan. Like, they just don't make...
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Taylor Dosey pretty much only wears that one cardigan throughout the entirety of the show, like a Wes Anderson character.
Okay.
All of the townies, except for Miss Patty, have, like, one costume.
Pretty much. Yeah. Babette's always in kind of black, and Maury's always in his ska band
ska outfit. Glasses, Matrix hat.
There was that... Well, we talked about the not being able to pay for the dictionary. He comes out of the store. Go ahead.
We didn't fully talk about that. That was
We need to talk about it more in detail.
Let's dig in.
That moment
we
of the card
about it.
That card being denied, I immediately was like, "Oh no, he's a deadbeat dad." Oh no, not now, because he was up until that moment, he was kind of
likable.
Yeah,
likable, very handsome. Everything's
did
going
you like
great.
Him?
Oh yeah, he's very handsome.
I thought he was very handsome.
Yeah. Yeah. Good looking brother.
I have a problem with that. They go into the bookstore, and I just think, like, writing wise, he would know if his credit card was maxed out, right?
Yeah.
Like, he would just know, or at least have some kind of inkling.
Maybe he's that irresponsible that he doesn't even keep track of that. He's like, ah, no worries, bro. And then.
And so they deny his credit card to buy this dictionary that his nerdy little daughter wants.
He has little dumb nerdy daughter.
And then they're like, do you want to try a different card? And he's like, oh, no. He just instantly gives up. So I guess, I mean, it serves its purpose, right? But I didn't buy it. Like,
you didn't buy that would actually occur.
I think there could have been a better way to do it.
Gotcha.
Like, I just, or just something that he was like confused or that he thought he had more money than he did. And I know that would take too long to explain, but I think it would have been cooler if they went out to like lunch and mm-hmm. then he was going to pay and then it was denied. And then Rory had to pick up the tab. That would have really, yeah. That would have really,
that would have been very emasculating.
It would have just really emasculated her father.
Which but is, I mean, hilarious.
What a bummer about how it got back to Lorelai from like four different sources.
That's emasculating right there.
Yeah.
The whole town knows that you're the father of your child. Is a piece of shit.
What, well, not a piece small of shit. Thing I mean, to what a small
and to
thing,
gossip about, right?
Yeah, like I can't imagine the book clerk being like your ex husband or your what would they even call Christopher was here and his card got denied. Like, what sort of gossip is that? That's so weird and boring. And
well, you know, he doesn't have any money. Well, then he comes out of the bookstore and Jackson says he's got that money note.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That was weird.
What do we interpret that to mean?
I don't. That was...
Is it what I think it is?
I think it might be slightly anti-Semitic.
Is it? What do you
think? I didn't even think about it. I didn't think that he looked like a Jewish
character. Neither did I. That's why I found it so weird.
Yeah, it's just weird.
His nose was...
I think he was like maybe talking about his movie star looks or something, and it just came out weird.
Oh,
or...
maybe.
Maybe.
But money nose could be very anti-Semitic.
And yeah. Then he also, Jackson also runs away like a cartoon character.
Everyone in town, I would love to see them run a marathon and just like cartoon legs spinning while yeah. People know them.
That'll happen. That's season six.
Oh, right.
So they get to the grandparents' house, and Richard seems to be 28% out of it when they arrive. Like, just seems to be a little bit disconnected from the whole proceedings. And they keep pushing in all the wrong ways. I feel like when they're there, just the questions that they're asking, and this part of the episode really feels like a sitcom to me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just like, Lorelai, why would you make a joke like that? What's the joke that she makes when it's like, oh, our daughter, the comedian, when she meets Christopher Strobe and what's her name? The other
Francine.
Strobe, is it Strobe and Francine?
And yeah, what kind of name is Strobe? Is it like Straub? Or?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There was some joke she told that really didn't land, right?
Yeah, but it didn't land. It was like, it's kind of lame. It's kind of what, like, it's just a joke you would say
right.
to, like, break ice. But she told it in such a way you'd think she was telling a 9/11 joke at Ground Zero. Like, people were like, Lorelai.
Right,
well,
yeah.
That's our daughter. Like, it was so. The punishment did not seem to fit the crime.
No,
in that moment.
They were
like,
definitely
oh.
overreacting.
Oh my!
In Strobe and Francine, like even the way they were dressed, it was just like this alternate reality version of Richard and Emily. That
yeah,
I was like,
bizarro.
Oh, this is not going to be. This is not going to go
well. It's not going to end well.
No. Yeah.
And it didn't.
I really wish that they had been like super hippie parents, and then they got into a fight about how it's just like it was your daughter. No, it was your son. But like. I mean, it was kind of a bummer that they were both haughty, sort of rich people parents.
Mm-hmm. I did find it interesting that Emily continued to be in denial about the conflict until that scene with Rory in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, no, he's an ass. He's a jackass or whatever.
Which she gave her potatoes and asparagus.
Yeah.
But no protein.
She's not very good at making
meals. She's not good at food. That's kind of a running
thing
of the
show. When Lorelai got sick, she gave her toast with a smashed banana on top of it. And that was like, eat up. Feel better.
She has no clue. How much can a banana be? $10?
Yeah. Go see a Star Wars.
Do you watch Arrested Development, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you
that was
see
a good
shades
line.
Of Lucille Bluth?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And Emily
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, she's just, like, very one-dimensional. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. She's always on and just being like, I'm very fancy. That's my impression.
You don't even know. That's flawless. Do you do other impressions?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do?
None I can do here.
Okay, well, we'll get to that later. That scene of Richard's study where Lorelai comes in, she's like, thanks for standing up for me. He says, after the hell you've put me and your mom through the last 16 years. I don't know if that's quite accurate or fair
at all. I would say maybe after the hell you put me through 16 years ago.
That would be fine. But it hasn't been consistent because pretty much Lorelai cut them out of her life after Rory was born. And she moved to Stars Hollow. And it's only recently they like thought over and they had to so they could pay for Rory's private school.
Right.
So the implication that the 16 years of no communication was, I don't know. It just,
haven't talked for 16 years.
Right.
That puts things more in context.
Well, it's not frequent talking.
If it's talking, it's not frequent talking.
But
it hasn't been an active part of their lives.
It's weird for him to say 16 years because it suggests, like, we haven't seen you in 16 years, where it's just like, you guys are just kind of distant. You're not even that distant. You're, like, minutes away.
You think he's being overdramatic?
I think so. But I also think that, like you said, it's a parallel to that moment of Lorelai and Rory before. So it's probably kind of the kind of thing where I'm sure – I don't think it's going to be brought up again, but I'm sure it's the kind of thing that he regrets, you know, where it's like he clearly overreacted, but those are real – there's seeds of real feelings in there. And maybe it was wrong of him to be like, I didn't defend you for you. I defended me for our name.
Wow, you're getting so serious.
What? I mean, this is what this is about, man. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, this was an intense episode. Find it such a buzzkill that the dad just, like, ripped into her.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a sad moment. I know it was needed so that she would have sex with Christopher on the balcony.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That's why that fight happened, right? It's the thing that motivated her to be like, I've lost everything. I might as
talking
well.
About from
I love how
structure.
The fight started, though. Just like, I hate George Bush. What?
Yeah,
she
apropos of nothing.
She did, she did it to incite a fire because she knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Of course she did. But then when Christopher says, why did you say that? She's just like, seemed like a good idea, but I feel like she should have just
wasn't?
Been like, she should have just been like, I didn't think it would get that bad or something. I don't know.
So I just as a first time viewer, I was so Lorelai and Christopher, Lorelai got pregnant and then Christopher wanted to marry her and she said no, which definitely comes back in this episode, right? And then it seemed like Christopher's parents blamed her, even though Christopher decided to go to California. Like, that didn't have anything to do with Lorelai, right?
No.
Like, they just blamed her for their son's failure, and I just thought that was wrong.
Yeah, that's an easier target than accepting the fact that your children are disappointing.
And it was a little bit sad that they did have no interest in getting to know Rory at all, which they talked about, but, like, that's their granddaughter, and it was just monstrous to me that they didn't want to connect to her.
You know what's funny, though? That didn't seem that... I don't know. I have grandparents on one side of my family that could give a shit about us as grandchildren. Like, they'll come by for holidays and stuff, but they don't like write or call, really.
It's just so weird that they, I guess that they're, they see her as a symbol of what went wrong, but it's still so, like, evil that they would just be like, fuck her. Like, I don't even care about.
Totally.
And it's different than, like, if Christopher was going to go to Harvard and then he slept with a Vegas hooker one night and then got pregnant. This is a woman that they've known for, like, years and years that grew up with Christopher, that they had been together for quite some time. So it's not like she was just some floozy.
Mm-hmm. Right? I do wish that their anger at Lorelai was a little more nuanced than it actually was.
Well, that's what happens when you get a male Palmadino writing.
Palmadino.
Writing the episode.
It's a Danny Dino episode.
Danny Dino, boy. So are we to believe, given their dialogue on the balcony, like, what exactly did they say? Like, oh, this is the spot where it all happened. Or something along those lines.
It was
Rory's inception.
They suggested that it started.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
That's where it all happened.
Yeah, so did they bone on the balcony?
That's what I was wondering. Because
before
that...
or now?
Well, they definitely did now.
They definitely did now, but before...
Before?
Totally did.
My first thought was... Wait, first of all, this is all at Emily and Richard's house, right?
That's right.
Where are they...
They're downstairs. Emily's with
scooping up asparagus and potatoes.
Emily's scooping asparagus. Richard is crying in his study,
of
quietly.
By the way, the lighting in Richard's study during that scene was very ominous.
Like, dark. It made me think of like an Arthur Miller play or something.
I was expecting it to like thunder outside the window or something. It was crazy. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a big window. It was like, did you guys really just have sex on the balcony?
For a huge mansion that they build up. Richard and Emily's place to be. It seems like the least convenient place to
out on the have public sex. Street.
But it was the only way they could get away from all the hustle and bustle. That's where they said
symbolic.
It was quiet. Like it was their little place to go. So I bought it. I don't know why you're having such a difficult problem with it.
It's the only plot hole in the show so far.
I mean, this show is flawless except for the balcony scene.
Except for the balcony scene.
100% flawless.
All the fans talk about the balcony scene.
And my boyfriend said that the mom always has a different maid every episode. Is that true?
Yeah. That's about true. Not in this episode, but in different episodes when you see a maid, it's always a different person.
And do you think that's because she always fires the maid, or is that what happens? It's a running gag. Okay, I enjoy that. If I watch the show, I'll enjoy that running
There's
gag.
There's things, hypothetically, you would enjoy about this show. Such as, like, if you want to see more of Melissa McCarthy, and you want to see more of... Who's the other character? Oh, Miss Patty or whoever it was.
Was Michelle in this episode?
No, I don't think so. I liked a lot of the show. I just wasn't in love with it. And I am upset that Sookie was only in that one scene to be like, well, what's going on? And then that was it. And she was never there again. And I would have liked for her to be back at the end of the episode and been like, so I heard you and Christopher are going to get married or something. And then
some sort of bookend.
Yeah, some kind of bookend. That's what she deserves. Mm-hmm. And now she had to get it somewhere else.
What was it like for you to see Melissa McCarthy in a role like this? After being probably familiar with her from other stuff.
I was prepared for it because I knew that she had been on the show, and I knew it was a quieter, more nuanced role, so I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun to see her, though. And then it's interesting to see someone that, you know, it's just going to, like, explode later, right? Just doing this small little thing.
She's a ticking time bomb. Yeah.
Just ready to explode, just being, like, having just one or two lines. And then later is going to be making so many more millions of dollars than the other people in the show.
Right. Isn't that so funny to think about? Like, if you were to go through and say, out of all these people in the cast, who do you think is going to go on and be, like, the number one comedy star in the country 10 years from now? Would you say?
They would say Luke, right? Because he's just so funny. Just so grumpy all the time.
He's gruff and grumpy. Oh, yeah. And then that scene where they start boning on the balcony, they have a quick shot of Luke getting stood up for painting.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That was a bummer.
Sad.
That just seems like Lorelai should have... I mean, this is before a lot of MacBooks, right? So she had her iCal. She would have put, like, painting with Luke in her thing, and she would have remembered to tell... Because she was going on this dinner, like... She booked it, right? It's not like...
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise.
It wasn't because of the fucking on the balcony that she missed the painting. It was because she double booked herself, right? Yeah.
Right. Which was just unprofessional.
I think it would have been better if she realized she double booked herself, and then she was like, uh-oh, how am I going to do both things at the same time?
And then she
would paint a little bit with Luke and then be like, my tummy hurts. I got to go to the bathroom. Then she would change into, like, a beautiful gown, drive to the dinner, and then be, like, eating cocktails and stuff. And then she would be like, oh, no, too many wontons. I've got to go to the bathroom. And then she would just do both at the same time.
And at some point, when she shows up at the dinner with paint on.
Exactly.
Are you wearing that nice
Mrs.
dress?
Doubtfire
and they'll be
style.
Like, she shows up to the dinner and they're like, there's paint all over your dress.
They're Southern too.
She's like, it's a new style. And they were like, well, you weren't wearing that before. Anyways, and then she would just say some quick little, I love this episode that we're writing together.
Yeah, let's stop talking about this episode. So let's just, let's get in the writer's room for the new Gilmore Girls reboot we're going to do.
All right. Int, paint store, noon.
So, I mean, how do you, I, and this was my first impression of Luke, right? He, in this episode, do you feel like he is more grumpy or less grumpy than he was in other episodes? Because I just found him very grumpy.
Equally as grumpy. Well, a little less grumpy than previous episodes.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't really remember any moment of particular grumpiness from him. He seemed passive when she missed the thing.
But there wasn't a lot of warmth, you're right.
Yeah.
There's no warmth, and as a viewer, if I was watching it for the first time, which I was, let's say that it was 2001, right? And I'm tuning into the WB and being like, well, my plans got canceled. I might as well watch this dumb show I've heard about. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, well... I wouldn't root for this couple at all. I want to see a little, like, Sam and Diane. I want to see, like, a little fire.
Sparks, yeah.
Sparks. And I just saw just grumpy. Whereas, like, if he was grumpy towards her and then we saw her leave and then he, like, you know, kicked the floor for being dumb or something. And we were like, oh, man, he likes her. But, you know, I just need to be spoon-fed that. Whereas, like, not other stuff like your credit card is declined. Like,
right. Oh, you want to be spoon-fed the fun stuff.
The fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Not that the dad's a deadbeat, right? For his business, it's never still ever mentioned what
Yo,
his business
yeah, we
was.
Never get to the bottom of that, do we? No. What is your business? It's business.
It's business. It's...
Nobody at any point asked what it was. And that's just so unrealistic to me. Mm-hmm. If we were at a party and you were like, what do you do? Business. Your next question would what kind of business?
Not so in Stars Hollow. They're curious as shit about everything else except for business.
What business he does.
It's so funny that he is more quick to admit that the business isn't doing well than
what it is. Totally.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about Christopher overall? Because there was a moment where I got the, like, I think Christopher, as the person who is, I mentioned in a previous episode that I was being very vague about who the guest was here that it shows up and is like,
spoiler alert, it's Christopher.
It's Christopher. But anyway, Christopher, I feel like when he comes to town is sort of like the audience's reaction. Like when he meets the townies, he's like, I'm getting you away from these people. They're so weird.
Yeah, he's got a good voice of reason, straight man.
Yeah.
Initially, right? He's our walk into Stars Hollow.
That's right.
And when he's talked to Lorelai in the episode, she starts getting quick with him. He's like, I forgot how quick you were. And then later she makes a Lucy reference and he just straight up says, no, I get it. It was just a weird reference. And I was like, that's us. We're Christopher.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a nice audience surrogate in that regard.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think you're supposed to like him, but then you just get a lot of moments where it's like, like, I mean, with him proposing at the end, I was just like, Christopher.
Yeah, that you never want to propose to someone in their pajamas, and B2, in a kitchen.
Yeah, let's get married.
That's usually
it was just so unmotivated, and like, you just like, I feel like his character was super underwritten, and I think that like Lorelai just says, Christopher is Christopher, like that's her thing that she says to describe him, and I think that was the writer just being like, I don't know what his deal is, I'll just say he's Christopher.
Oh yeah, and in that scene where she's talking to Suki, she says, and then he walks in and then he's just
Christopher.
It's just Christopher.
Christopher. And I feel like if I was Suki, then I'd be like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But nobody asked any follow-up
no
questions.
No one asked questions.
So uncurious.
Except
everybody.
For Emily, who asks a million follow-up Lorelai. Questions. Like, otherwise.
So, yeah, she proposes to her, and I just don't know what the motivation is. I don't know if he needs money. It doesn't seem like he
needs a green card.
It doesn't seem like he needs maybe needs a green card, and he's Canadian, and we find that out now, which would be a great twist.
That would be a terrific twist.
But, like, what is behind it?
I think the idea is that he genuinely does want to reconnect with Rory and Lorelai, but the problem is he was bullshitting about his
business.
This is the business episode. It's business time. But yeah, so he was bullshitting about that. So that's the central conflict, and he's not prepared to. I don't know. It does end kind of vague, doesn't it? Where it's like, what's the problem? Why do you have to go?
It ends super shitty.
Yeah.
Because she's. Yeah, it's just super shitty because it's like, will you marry me? No, I don't want to do it. But, and he's like, I really want to spend time with Laura. Like, Rory, I want us to connect. I want this so badly. No, I don't want to marry you, but please stay. Cut to him leaving. Like,
I wish we were exactly like that. It's like, but will you stay? And then you see him like,
it's pretty much what it was. Yeah. She was like, don't leave, be part of this family or something. I don't know. And then he's immediately leaving. No reason why.
No.
His business sucks. So he's not, what is he going back to? Like, why couldn't he just stay in the town?
Business.
I think if I was, like, a writer on the show, I think he should have stayed in the town, and it would have been, like, a point of conflict between, you know, they've got this Luke thing boiling, right? Mm-hmm. And we could keep that cooking for a little bit
longer. Who's the actor that plays Christopher?
His name is David Sutcliffe.
That name sounds familiar.
What else has he been on? Did you
He was in an ABC sitcom about a guy, a teacher who dates a movie star, whose name I forget. And then I believe he was on Shonda Rhimes' Private Practice, if I'm not mistaken. I believe. where IMDb in right now.
But there's a very...
Yep, he was on Private Practice.
There's a very sad moment where Rory is, like, arguing, like, why couldn't you marry him? And in that moment, I was just like, how are you this... Like, you're supposed to be smart. You wanted to read a dictionary, but you don't get why...
She's such a little idiot.
I was, I was just like, come on, you dummy. Like,
she just wants her dad in a dictionary.
Yeah.
D&D. Different kind, though.
Different kind entirely. Yeah.
Well, we already talked about her getting the D in episode 4.
The D in? The Dean?
She wants the Dean.
She wants the Dean.
No, she got a bad grade on one of her tests in one of the last episodes.
Oh, did she have a little meltdown? Poor little thing.
Kind of.
Is there anything about this show that compels you to watch it again, Ben?
I mean, I might watch it a little bit more. I've heard it doesn't get... It doesn't age well, like, in the later seasons. So.
Some things don't.
Age well?
Yeah, some things about the show don't age well. Or some things in life don't age well.
I was like, you're pointing at me like, huh?
Some things don't.
I think maybe the thing that interests me is that you see these little glimpses of these characters, and I don't know anything about them. So there is that thing of just being rewarded by... knowing these characters, right? Because, like, someone would come in and be like, two donuts, and, like, since I don't know anything about the show, I can't be like, oh, that's Bruno, and he always orders donuts.
Two donut like, Bruno, that's what we call him, and like, that's why we love him, yeah.
And just the things of, like, and my boyfriend was being like, he's going to date her, and she's going to date him, and I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about that. Like,
yeah, and because you have no investment, the stakes
I don't know
are
investment.
So low.
Yeah, because I want Sookie. Sookie's going to have a love situation happening. And
but she does have, I mean, currently in the show, she does have a love situation happening with the guy that runs away.
Whoa.
The second guy that runs away like a cartoon character. Yeah. So
I might watch it just because it's on Netflix. It's so easy breezy. Like, I could just watch it whenever I want instead of watching Hotel Impossible right now. I'm watching so much Hotel Impossible.
What
is Hotel Impossible?
What's the hook of that?
It's just one of those makeover shows, but hotels. And for some reason, because I've been watching Hotel Hell, which is Gordon Ramsay.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and fixes hotels. Of course, he yells a lot. Hotel Impossible is like this little... tiny Italian man? I don't know. He's not Italian. Maybe he's from New Jersey or something. But he is this little bald, bespeckled man, and he goes and fixes hotels. And I just, for some reason, I just really get so satisfied, like, a hotel being fixed that was having problems.
I just imagine this tiny man coming and going, like, I'm not gonna fix the rooms!
This is spicy meatball. That's racist, I'm sorry.
Not any more racist than me going, I'm not going to fix the rooms. We're going to get some complaints for this one.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about race on this podcast, way more than I was ever anticipating would.
Have definitely. You? Because there's only white people in Stars Hollow.
Yeah, yes. That's why.
That's exactly why.
And the black people that are on are like...
villains or something? That would be terrible.
They're mustache twirling, chime down the tracks villains.
Oh my God.
It's like the evil overlord from the town over.
Yeah,
I'm the mayor. I'm going to demolish Stars Hollow.
Every black character is Snidely Whiplash. But there is one like major, I wouldn't even say major, they're like a secondary black character. Their name is Michelle, and they're essentially just like a joke machine that works at the hotel.
Snooty French guy. You saw him in the credits.
Probably. Oh, yeah. And he's supposed to maybe be gay? Is that what the thought about him?
No, he's straight on the show because he talks about the ladies in other episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's just like... crazy French and like doesn't have any dimension and just like hates his life and just like
it is interesting, isn't it? Because if this show was made now, it would be so much more diverse.
Yeah,
like
of course.
it would be
by
like
mandate.
Super by mandate. Like Shonda Rhimes would come down from the heavens
from
and
above,
strike at the show, and then it would be so diverse. Because like Shonda Rhimes shows are just like. Just everybody's diverse.
Well, that's interesting you bring up her because she, Amy Sherman-Palladino, who created this, created another show called Bunheads on ABC Family.
I've heard of it. I didn't watch it, but I knew about it.
It was really good. I think we might do it instead of season 7.
I think you should.
Seven.
13 episodes of Bunheads. It would be like
Bunhead Bros.
It would be like
Bunhead Bros.
You know, because it's like a very limited series, right?
Yeah, it's like 13 or 18 episodes. But because there was a lack of diversity in casting that as well, it was all white people. Shonda Rhimes went on Twitter and said, I can't let my daughter watch this because there's no women of color represented.
Whoa.
So it's like shots fired from like the female showrunners.
She deserved it. Bang, bang.
Maybe Sherman Palladino doesn't see it because she writes on a typewriter.
At type the same wider?
Time, type though, if you went into one of those ballet classes, it would be all white girls, right?
You think so?
I think so.
Let's go into some ballet classes, guys, and see if that's true.
Gilmore Girls, take it to the street. Gilmore Guys, take it to the street.
But they definitely need more diversity in Stars Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like so many white people.
I wonder if it's true
and
to
one
the...
Asian.
I wonder if, yeah, and a single Asian family. I wonder if it's true to just Connecticut that it's like not highly diverse.
I bet it's not.
Probably not.
I've never been there. And I never will be there, so we don't have to find
okay.
out. I promise this to you right now.
Did, I swear.
Stars Hollow, was that filmed at Universal Studios? Do we know where Stars
Warner
Hollow
is?
It was at Warner Brothers, yeah. Yes.
Warner Brothers, WD. Okay.
I believe.
And it's like anytime you see the town, it's just very much like this is a set.
Burbank Mountains behind, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Oh, yeah, it's totally filmed out here. I just wondered which place it was.
Right.
I have to visit it one day. So overall, how would we...
that was
such a strange note to... I have to visit it one day. It was like the end of my memoir.
One day I'll get there.
One day we'll all get there. How do we rate this episode? We'll start with you, Demi. We come up with a different rating system every episode.
Oh, okay.
Using an object usually found in the show.
They fixed the pacing on this episode. It was interesting. A lot of my favorite characters really weren't in it that much.
Mm-hmm.
Although there was a great moment from Richard, which I stand by. So,
when he's like, how dare you?
Yeah. And subsequently his like little breakdown in his office where it's all dark. I thought it was good, even though I hated him in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So I'm going to say 4 out of 5 business transactions. Just general business.
4 out of 5 businesses.
Just 4 out of 5 business.
4 out of 5 businesses.
Business ratings.
You know, I'm going to agree with you because I really did. I did enjoy that stuff with Richard because it continued the ambiguity that does exist between Lorelai and Richard. And there were some nice moments. And despite everything, I do kind of like Christopher. And maybe it's just totally coasting on the actor's charisma why I like him. Because he was underserved in a lot of ways. Like
I think he was charismatic. I think he proved to be more mature than Lorelai. I don't know if he was a good actor.
Oh, you don't?
There
really?
It was one particular moment. When they were doing the Offspring Metallica argument, he just had this like sort of like, no, that's not, no.
David Sutcliffe, if you're listening.
You don't think he's a good actor. Who would you rate him worse than?
Okay, better than. I guess that's kind of true.
I just feel like a lot of the characters are just so over the top. Like, there's just, like, no reality. So. Like,
they're
the mother, that dance instructor.
I guess...
The mother has dementia. If you keep watching the show, you'll see Emily's got layers.
I will say...
We love Emily.
That not many people get to go either, like... happy all the time. Like, no one, like, none of the townies also get really sad moments. So, I guess, of the people that get sad moments all the time and, like, have to show more range of emotion, he's probably, like, on, like, there are only, like, 4 people that do, I guess, in this episode. So, he's on the lower end of it. So, it's not fair to say that he's bad, but I will say that he didn't, there was no moment where he had to show emotion that I was like, oh, I really feel for this guy.
Mm.
So, again, though, this was your rating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Lucy pajamas.
That's a weird reference.
That's a weird reference. Ben, how would you
rate this? How do I rate the episode? Wow. I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, I think if I was going to gauge what I thought other episodes would be like, sounds like some are slower than others, right? I mean, I guess I would give it a 4 out of 5 oversized dictionaries, probably.
Monoliths. That's a good one.
Just because 4 out of 5 monoliths, because I mean, it could have been better, right? I think I'm just like such a specific person that like if they just mentioned what kind of business he was in, then I would have enjoyed this episode probably twice as much. But I just kept being like, just say the business. Like,
even if he just made up a name that like sort of hinted, oh, maybe he deals in housing stuff.
So I would give it an 80%, right? That's what a 4 out of 5. If they had said what the business was, fleshed out Christopher a little bit more and what his deal was, because he just like was pretty just all over the place,
sure,
then it would have been a little bit better. But it was good. There was a lot of drama. I would have also had made sure that Rory had a protein when she was getting the asparagus and potatoes, because she needs it. She's a growing girl.
Absolutely.
I was just hungry at the time, so I was really focusing on what
on
she
the
was
food.
Getting.
I made a pizza when I was watching this, so yeah? I think I just even didn't realize that was happening, like that she didn't get
I was
good
eating
food.
Popcorn at 1 in the morning last night watching this.
Well.
So that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think we did it, guys. We nailed it. Ben, will you come back and do every episode with us?
commit right now. Commit.
I'm going to listen to more episodes to see if you ask the same question every time. Yes.
Yay!
I would love to be
It's legally
here.
Binding.
Oh, my gosh. Ben, sincerely, thank you so
thank
much.
You so
Is there
much.
Anything you want to plug thank before we sign off for this app?
You can follow my Twitter at BenjaminJS. And that's it for now.
Okay.
There's some other stuff bubbling up here and there, but I'm not...
You know what?
I'm going to stop right now.
We'll retweet it from at Gilmore Guys Show when it happens.
Sure. That would
we'll
be
do
great.
It.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, yes, you can follow Benjamin at BenjaminJS.
Yes, and my podcast, Buffy Boys.
Buffy Boys. I would be a guest on Buffy Boys.
Absolutely.
You know what's interesting, though? You might find this interesting because there are dialogue similarities between these two shows and that they are so specific in genre. Amy Sherman-Palladino has stayed on record several times that she would listen to Buffy while writing these episodes.
Oh,
as like background
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel the difference between the two is that like there'd be a bunch of witty banter and then someone would say something pretty normal on Buffy, whereas this show, everyone just says a bunch of crazy shit.
Yeah.
And no one's ever like talking like a normal person. Yeah. Like it could so easily be a horror series, right? Everyone in the town like knows everything that you do. They all talk like robots.
Yeah.
With
there's
just a
no
few
black
score changes.
People. Like,
it would be
all white people.
La, la.
There hasn't been a black person in this town for 25 years.
Well, what about that French guy? He's a robot.
Yeah. Which would make sense. My name is Michel.
011. Ben, how well do you know the theme song?
I know it pretty good.
Okay.
Terrific.
Do you go out with it? Is that what
we
you do?
We do. We might. So, guys, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
5, 6, 7, 8.
We're out on the road.
Feeling lonely. And so cold.
Oh, no,
take it, Ben.
I only know the chorus most of the time.
Okay, well,
call my name and I'll be there on the next train where you lead. I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you,
I will follow. What's your business?
Some harmonies there.
Yay.
What does Christopher do?
What's your business? Goodbye.
Cool, guys.
Let's do it again.
No. I was all gung-ho.